Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Motivation and fearlessness. Boy, do we need that today. That's part of what I feel is the American soul. I feel that that aspect of the American spirit is so important. And I know that there are people out there that say, oh, it's not worth it. I've got news for you. It is worth it. It is what has enabled many times problems to be solved. You really have a passion for business. You've been a business consultant for a number of years. You have been a collegiate quarterback, which requires a great deal of discipline. You've gotten into the spiritual aspect of life. Spiritual mystic has been applied to you. You really have a passion for empowering people, helping them understand through your consulting business. Number one, they don't have to stay stuck. But number two, that the challenges of business can bring many gifts to them. John, how did you get involved with being a part of this Zentrepreneur positioning? Because it wasn't all that simple a journey, was it?
No, it wasn't at all, Donna. And I think to be a great teacher, you have to be a great student. You have to have an open mind. You have a keen sense of curiosity, a sense of adventure. You have to be willing to explore and to not think that you know it all and not think that you've got it all figured out. So there's a humility to all of it. You have to get out of your own way to lead, so to speak. It's not just about getting out of other people's way. And yeah, I've had some tough breaks over my life. I kid about this now more and more, but you know, I was born on Friday the 13th. My name is Murphy. As in Murphy's Law, anything can go wrong, it will. You know, at the worst possible moment, that kind of thing. You know, I almost killed myself twice by the age of three, so the terrible twos took on a whole new meaning around my household, my mother and father. And yeah, I had a lot of tough breaks growing up. I had injuries that were crippling. I was actually told in high school that I'd never play college football again. I'd never play football again. And a couple of years later, I was, in fact, playing at Notre Dame. So I've had a lot of adversity, you know, tough breaks, and that's continued on. But the thing that's key to all of this, and this is what I think is important to anybody, whether you're starting your own little business up or you're running a global enterprise, the key is to recognize that there's opportunity all around us. It's important that we pay attention. It's important that we get out of our own way, that we open our minds and our hearts and we listen, and we take in those opportunities, and then we act on them. So the Zentrepreneur, and yeah, it is a little tough to say, but just a matter of putting Zen in front of the word entrepreneur, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's combining presence. It's combining a peace of mind. It's combining well-being and balance. And humility with action. So the Zentrepreneur it's our soul seeking freedom and expression and creativity. We're here to create and to grow and to be inspired, because that's in fact what we are. We're spirit, and that means to be fearless. But the problem is we get in our own way. We find ourselves doubting ourselves and one another, and that's where it all starts to trip us up.
Now, you present workshops, and throughout your book, Zentrepreneur, you have a number of examples, but I thought I'd bring up some of the terms that are in your book. One is Kaizen, and please correct me if I do not pronounce it correctly, but the Kaizen is something that means good change. And because of your being a willing student, you have studied many different philosophies and have explored many different venues to find what fits best with you, which I encourage anyone to do. I think that's very important, because we're very much individuals in what our comfort zones would be. But I find that the Kaizen is a very interesting terminology, and that these events that you will put on are there to promote getting to a root cause of a challenge. And boy, we don't hear very many individuals saying, let's get to the root cause of the problem. And I think of what's going on politically, environmentally. I mean, we have so many things in our day right now that we are bombarded with. But as individuals, and individuals that may be in business, if we're experiencing failure, getting to the root cause of that can turn things around. I found this very interesting. How did you evolve into that understanding?
Well, you know, I evolved and I continue to evolve. Like I said before, you know, you never really have it figured out. And the minute you think you do have it all figured out, the mind starts to close. So, you know, I remind myself every day, keep an open mind and explore and search and learn and then share. And Kaizen is something I learned about probably 20 years ago. It's a Japanese word. It's actually two Japanese words put together into one. So Kai, K-A-I, is to take apart and make new. And Zen, of course, is to think good, think positive. So Kaizen is where we take apart and we make better. In other words, we make good change. A Kaizen event, which is typically a 3 to 5 day event. In fact, I'm running one this week out in New Jersey. A Kaizen event is where we get a group of people together, a team, for 4 or 5 days, 3, 4, 5 days. Depending on the scope of the event, and we make good change during the week. We don't sit around and talk about it for some other day. We don't plan it for another month. We actually roll our sleeves up. We're given the authority to make the changes, and we bring executives in if need be to brief them on here's what we're doing and why. And it's inspiring because people don't even realize it sometimes, but they're up against a system. And Deming, the great total quality management guru of the 40s, 50s, 60s, Edwards Deming once said, put a good person in a bad system, and the bad system wins no contest. Mm-hmm. And I find that every week we've got good people in lousy systems, and it's just beating them up. And it's stressful, and it's tense. People go home anxious and frustrated. So what I do for a living is I run, in addition to other things, I run Kaizen events where we get good people together to change that system. And when we change that system, well, I'll tell you, people don't resist change. People love it. It's a big shift. It's really not change that people resist. People resist pain and discomfort. And it's all about perception. But if somebody perceives the change as a good thing, they're going to be all for it. So the idea is to not make change to people, it's to make change with people. And that's really what a Kaizen event is all about. We make good change together. We never quite get it right, so to speak. You have to get past that idea because the world's continuing to innovate and improve. And with new technology, with new discoveries, we have to learn to be comfortable with change. We can't go through life resisting it. That's like going down the road with your foot on the brakes. It doesn't make any sense to go through life with your foot on the brakes. You know, there are times to slow down, and then there are times to speed up. But going through life with this resistant attitude, it's unnatural, and it's a quick way to grow old fast.
And also, what makes it a difficult thing? Often we have a lot of emotional baggage. I'll take that terminology out of your book. I don't know of anyone or any environment that doesn't have some type of baggage. And to be able to recognize it, it sometimes can be very painful for people. I know that there are individuals that have taken over positions of leadership within corporations, and maybe it's been a family-owned company, and Uncle Harry had always done it this way, and we do what Uncle Harry does. Well, Uncle Harry lived in a different time, a different place, experienced a different space of experience, doesn't mean that you throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it means that you may need to change the bathwater. You may need to change the container that you're giving the baby the bath in. And I just find that it often is a challenge because we can get stuck in ruts because of emotional baggage and also assumptions. And I know in your book you have so many good stories. Would you share one about an experience where you were able to work with someone in a corporate environment and help them turn things around by seeing the emotional baggage that they were carrying?
Well, sure. I mean, the key is in teaching people to let go, because what happens is we all have a tendency to cling to things, even if they're not healthy. You know, we cling to habits. We cling to the very things that weigh us down. We get attached. And so one of the techniques I teach is how to let go, how to let go of insecurity, how to let go of fear, how to let go of doubt, how to let go of disbelief. So limiting beliefs and flawed assumptions, you talked about assumptions, are what really cripple us. I mean, rarely do we have all the facts. If we go through life believing that we just can't do something for whatever reason, or that we're not equipped today to do it, so it's got to wait another year, another 3 years, or until we get that second degree, you know, we go through life again just doubting ourselves. So, you know, I every week I go into corporations and even smaller startups, and I work with people to identify what the assumptions. Sometimes we hear the term paradigms, these mental models, these beliefs that we have. And the key, in fact, I'm working with a client, one of an example, I'm working with a client right now where there's a great deal of paper and distribution in the system. So, you know, one of the more common approaches to business improvement or process improvement is to say, how do we do a better job processing the paper and getting it distributed? So that's part of a more common continuous improvement effort. Let's figure out a better way to do what we already do. A real paradigm shift, a challenge of assumptions, would be, why do we print anything today? Why do we distribute paper? If somebody wants something, why don't we just beam it to them? So instead of getting better at something that we should perhaps eliminate, let's find a whole new alternative. So when you look at companies and histories and stories like Blockbuster Video, which is now sadly selling off its remaining inventory, and another business case for people to learn, you know, what happened to videos? Why aren't people going to the video store like they used to? And the answer is because we have alternatives now that are faster, lesser cost, more user-friendly. You know, I laugh now about my phone. I hardly use my phone for phone calls. It's like it's a GPS system, it's a video camera, it's a camera, it's a flashlight, it's a calculator. You know, it's all these different things. And if you stop and think about it, pull out your phone from 6 or 8 years ago and show it off at a cocktail party, and people will laugh at you. They'll say, that's old. That's nothing. And yet, you know, 6 or 8 years ago, it was being staged as the greatest thing, you know, on the planet. That's how fast things are changing, and that's how fast innovation is taking place. So in this day and age, we have to awaken the Zentrepreneur in our people, in our, whether we're 50,000 people in our company or we're two. We have to awaken to the opportunity that surrounds us and get past the fear to truly innovate and prosper.
Absolutely true. Now, there's a lot of wisdom that you have in your book that I don't think will ever change. And one of the components that you talk about is that you need to pay attention to who and what you are surrounding yourself with and what you are bringing into your environment. What is it that is there? What is it that is working for you, that is supporting you in the way that you want, and what isn't? And I think that that is a level of mindfulness that one needs to cultivate. And sometimes that can be very difficult, especially when loyalties or the feeling of loyalty comes in. How would you address that to someone? Because this is a very significant thing to be alert to, especially in business.
Well, I always start with clients by saying, let's get the facts. Let's start with, in many cases, the brutal facts, because sometimes they hurt. Let's get the facts. What's really going on? The reality is that we go through life day after day after day in business, day after day after day, basing most of what we do on assumption. We really don't have good data. We don't really have good facts. But we confuse assumptions with facts. So we have opinions about things where neither one of, you know, we get into debates and disputes. You see this in Washington all the time, where no one's got the facts. No one's actually grounded in reality. You see it in business every day. I do. No one's got the facts. And so we're debating positions without the data, without good understanding. So start with the facts. You know, go to the grocery store and you're reading on the labels of the boxes of cereal or the boxes of whatever that is vitamin fortified and that it's actually good for you. Well, just about nothing that comes in a box is good for you. Nothing that comes in a bag is actually good for you. So, I mean, you know, we get marketed all of this information, and most of it's not actually true, but we think it is. Therefore, we make purchasing decisions, we make management decisions, we make hiring decisions, we make policy decisions, whatever. We're making these decisions without good data, and it's those flawed assumptions that end up getting us into trouble more than anything else. So I start by saying, let's get grounded in reality. Let's get the data to the extent that we can, not always available or not easy yet. And then let's see if that doesn't wake us up a little bit. And I'll tell you what, Donna, it's shocking sometimes to see the actual data. For example, you know, a process that takes 24 hours to actually do can take a company, you know, 6 months. And you're like, wait a second, did you say 6 months? Yeah, it takes us 6 months from start to finish to get this done, and it's only 24 hours of actual work. Or it's six Amazing. Weeks, and it's only 15 minutes of actual work. That's mm-hmm. that's profound data that really wakes us up. And so part of our techniques is that we use the data and the story it tells. We create very clever, creative stories to wake up the leadership teams and to wake people up to say, look, you really want things to continue this way? Because that's not very competitive and not very innovative. So, start with the facts and pay attention to who you pay attention to, because there's all kinds of people out touting, you know, opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I always suggest that you make sure that who you listen to is credible. Are they walking the talk? Mm-hmm. Are they an illustration? Are they an actual demonstration of what it is they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether it's diet or exercise or wisdom or success, prosperity, are they walking the talk?
Mm-hmm. That's very important. Very important. Well, I can think of the times that I got myself into hot water, and I mean financially and other ways, because I led with my emotions instead of, and I can hear people say, oh yeah, women do that. I got news for you, men do it too. And
oh, yeah.
Just what you've said, because our emotional nature is very important, but it's meant to be balanced. And I think the points that you have just covered are significant. But that's when you have to really say, okay, I've dealt with something. I really mucked up here. So now it's time for me to get back on track. And that's part of what the Zentrepreneur book that you have put together addresses. And it enables us to look with a capacity of fact. And we cannot assume that what we went through before, the lessons we learned, are really going to empower us. We can take the tidbits out of it, but sometimes we just have to start over from scratch. Sometimes we really have to get down to the bare bones, get down to the root cause. Sometimes it's issues that we have avoided, and maybe we need someone on our team. If you don't like dealing with numbers, if that's something that really is a problem, in business, that's mandatory. You have to look at that. And as much as you may not like it, if you have someone that's really good at it and they're not afraid to bring it up to you, and you go, okay, I don't like it, but let's listen to it. Let's find out. And then having a good team is so important. I really think it's such a negative when we are taught that we're supposed to do everything by ourselves. We're supposed to do it all. We're supposed to know it all, which is totally impossible. And I've shared this with my audience before. One of my most difficult lessons to learn was to open my mouth and let people know that I wanted answers to questions. And it's amazing how though sometimes your answers will come from some of the most unlikely sources.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm a huge believer in teamwork. And, you know, I've written several books on teamwork and how to pull people together as a team and get things done. And you know, the important thing about the teamwork is it's the very diversity that is a gift. It's the fact that we all look at things a little bit differently. So it isn't just about the data, which I was talking about before. Actually, how do we look at the data? From what perspective? For example, I could walk outside right now and look at the horizon and swear that the Earth is flat, okay, and that it's not moving. Whereas, in fact, from a different perspective, we know the Earth is round, and then it's hurling through space at 68,000 miles an hour, approximately. So a lot of times the data doesn't seem even real because it's a matter of perspective. So from one department's perspective, the client or the customer is happy, and from another perspective, the client is furious. So what's the truth? And what not just what data do we have, but how do we use that data to gain intelligence? Because at the end of the day, it's smart systems that get us ahead, not effort and hard work. In fact, you know, Deming also said hard work and best effort without guidance of profound knowledge may well be the root of our ruination. We were talking about root causes earlier. Well, the most common root cause I find anywhere is ignorance. We don't know what we don't know. So if we're ignorant, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. And if we're ignorant, we're going to be afraid. And if we're ignorant, we're going to feel insecure. If we're ignorant, we're not going to have very smart policies and very smart designs and very smart systems and very smart structures. So at the root of everything is ignorance. And this goes back thousands of years. You know, the great masters of time all taught about the importance of addressing ignorance. And it takes a great deal of humility to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I need to investigate that. I need to get the facts. I don't have an opinion on it yet because I really don't understand the root cause. But the problem is a lot of people run through life swearing they do have all the answers, swearing they do know the right thing to do. And, that's just ego. And the other thing I wanted to say is that a lot of problems, when you talk about root causes, the solution's not where we think it is. So, for example, I use in some of my workshops, somebody goes into the doctor with a headache. You know, well, the quick fix is, here, take an aspirin or take a pill, and that'll make the headache go away. And then the headache's back the next day or back, 2 days later, because we haven't looked at it from a systems perspective. And by the way, if we don't look at it from a systems perspective, we end up with side effects. And you know we've got all kinds of side effects going on in the world. So a true systems approach would be, well, let me take a deeper look at you and find the true root cause. And it might be that your hips are out of alignment. Because your hips are out of alignment, you're favoring one side, and that's causing inflammation in your neck, and that's pinching off a nerve, and therefore you've got a headache. So what you need is you need to get your hips realigned, and your headache will go away, and it'll never come back. Now that, to a lot of patients, so to speak, they'd say, well, doctor, you don't understand, the pain's in my head, not my hips. In other words, you know, in business, the customer's complaining, but the problem is in an entirely different area. It's in our pricing department, or it's in our implementation area, or something that appears to be unrelated, but in a true system, everything is connected. So to get to true root cause, we've got to look at the overall system and have the proper tools to get to where the WACOM leverage points. You find a couple of important leverage points and you can change everything.
That is very true. And in our world today, as you mentioned earlier, when we started talking, changes are happening so very, very fast. And I think it's a gift. I think in many ways it's a gift. In some respects, it's a frustration because one questions, how can I keep up with all of it? Well, maybe you just start with right where you are. You don't worry about trying to be the end-all and do everything, but you begin with where you are. And your book, Zentrepreneur, Creating a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness to Get Out of the Way and Lead, I think just about anybody could benefit from this because a shift in thinking usually has to be done first, but an understanding has to come along with a shift in thinking so that the right action then is put into positioning so that you can have the result that you are looking for. And it takes a team, and you address so many different components of this. And I think, John Murphy, that your book is just outstanding. For those of you listening, if you would like to get a copy of his book. It is something that you can read in bites if you want to, or just go through the whole thing and then go back with a highlighter and look at those pertinent areas that you would like to address. Go to his website, venturemanagementconsultant.com, venturemanagementconsultant.com. And I think that you would find yourself in a very interesting positioning. You'd be able to access some resources, there's other publications, but more than that, it may open up a door for you in the way of opportunity in exploring your own potential and the phenomenal world of business. John Murphy, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you, Donna. I appreciate it.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Lots of good things to share with you. Check out venturemanagementconsultant.com. Get out of the way and lead. Zentrepreneur. It's a big word, but I'll tell you what, the material is powerful. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hello and welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open and you can give me a buzz. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 008. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just relax. Let me tell you what I perceive about you as a person, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of concern to you. And let's see if I can give you some insight to that. 888-627-6008. Well, I have just some wonderful items that I wanted to share with you today. One of them, because I do have a passion for wellness and being able to bring information to you as well as to myself and my own environment. And I was watching a program over the past weekend, and it had to do with how many high contact sports like football, you know, the hockey aspect, the severe damage that's being done to young kids, first of all, and also adult players, the aspects of injury, brain injury for players in the NFL, et cetera, are just unbelievably high. Well, when you have that high impact and you're, you know, smashing the head, the neck, the back, I mean, this is a rugged game. Well, in today's world, they have all kinds of padding, but this is because of technology. We're becoming aware of how impact can affect the brain. And as I watch this program, they showed how, through technology, they're able to assess this. They're even able to do testing without a human, but they can do it with machines, and how the brain is impacted. And they showed the effects on little kids and how little ones, when they're playing, because boys and girls like to get into these sports, well, even if the little boys, let's say if they're playing football, when they're small, the brain has a capacity of bouncing back. But when you get older, that's not necessarily the case. It's not going to have, you might say, the adaptability, pliability, recovery ability that a little person might have. Well, they had a challenge when they started really doing the research on this, because it was becoming more and more apparent that the older players, and they weren't that old, I mean, in their 30s, in their 40s, they're experiencing conditions that were brought on by the high impact that they went through when they were playing the game with football, hockey players. Well, this has become more and more of a concern. They had to determine a way that they could make an evaluation. So what they started to do was put sensors into helmets. Now, they could do testing without a person for a long time, and then when you're actually in the game, that makes a big difference from something just being hit automatically in a laboratory to be able to do the adaptation and the adjustment to determine impact and the pressure, et cetera. Having it in the real-life environment is very important. So they've designed helmets that they would put on players, and they were amazed at what they were finding out. Well, now there is a device that is coming out. They're hoping that it's going to be available in 2014, and they will be able to discern, even during a game, if a player has sustained, young or older, it doesn't make any difference, if they have sustained an injury, a head injury. It's called the check light beanie, and it can be worn under a helmet or even without one. And it has sensors that identify the strength, duration, and location of impacts to the head. And if it's a moderate hit, a yellow light goes off, and real serious hits set off a red one. Now, Reebok and an electronics company, fairly new, MC10, they launched the check light this summer, and it was $150. In fact, you can go to Reebok.com and find out about it. There is another option that has come out. It's called X-Patch. It's a sensor in the form of a patch that's worn behind the ear and transmits information about injuries wirelessly to a computer that's on the sideline. So a coach, if he sees something, you have someone on staff watching this, And imagine this on all your players. And I'm sure there's going to have to be some kind of coding so they know which player's being affected. But this could really keep mature players from being seriously injured, and it can also help with younger players. Now, there is a company called X2 Biosystems. When it comes to this patch, they said be aware that this is going to be coming out. They're hoping to have it available on a much bigger scale than they do at this moment. But I felt like this is important. There are so many contact sports, whether it is, you know, being involved in roller skating or being involved in hockey, soccer. There's just so many things that we are learning about that we didn't have a clue about. You know, I think of Muhammad Ali. This man ended up, because of being a boxer, and let's face it, those boxers get smashed in the head over and over again. Well, he paid a very heavy price. He was a phenomenal athlete, but he paid a very, very heavy price. And it is something that maybe we're going to be able to help avoid some of those serious injuries, because sometimes it takes a while before the injury is actually even detected. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I know the Big Bird holiday is coming up in about a week, and of course we're going to be all preparing. Yes, those of us that are cooks and chefs, and if you're one of those lucky ones that you're able to go to somebody's house and enjoy their wonderful cooking, that is always a treat. But as those of us that put on gatherings that involve other people, we know that we have to watch our budgets. We're looking at the prices on so many things going up and up and up. And if you're interested in getting a bird, check for the special. Now, so many of you I know are already doing that. If you're like me, you keep your eye on the specials at the local stores in your neighborhood, because often there are those sales that are really going to pay off big time. Now, if you shop at warehouse clubs, that is one way of saving, because we all, if we're in a position to do so, do that. But sometimes prices for holiday food are lower at many other places, your local grocery store. I know at my local grocery store, they had turkey selling for 99 cents a pound. Of course, it came along with a certain package. If you bought so much, so many dollars were spent, then you could get the turkey for 99 cents a pound. And apparently Target is offering some phenomenal prices on food, and some research by a particular group was done. They said the store has a Red Car payment card that gives you a 5% off on your purchase if this is something that you are interested in. So that's just a head up. Also, swapping name brands for store brands. Store brands can save you an average of 33% compared to name brands. And I think that's a very good suggestion, but I can tell you that many times I have tried store brands and they have not had the quality that a name brand has had. So I think you need to check out what's there. Pumpkin, I don't think it makes any difference. Canned pumpkin is canned pumpkin. To me, I haven't seen any big difference there. But there are some other things that when it comes to the holiday, if you know what really works in your recipe, stick with what works and do pay that little bit of extra. But remember, there are ways that you can save money and trim those expenditures for that holiday feast that you're wanting to prepare. And the reason that the store brands usually are lower, and you've got to look at the prices, because it depends on the sale. Sometimes the store brands actually are higher than a name brand that might be on sale. So you just need to stay alert and stay aware. But it's because they don't promote their own brands all that much, and so their overhead cost is not so high. And just remember, if you're only going to use a small amount, like of spice, then just look for some innovative ways that you can shop, and who knows, maybe you could borrow a little bit of spice from a neighbor if you wanted to, But again, shopping wisely and spending money wisely can be a fun game. You actually can have a good time with it. And if you've got children, sometimes you can. This is a good way to teach them. Say, all right, we've got this amount of budget. Let's go shopping. And we're going to pretend. We're going to go shopping, and you're going to add up everything and see if we're going to be able to meet our budget. It's a great way to work with kids and help them understand that money does count, and that if you have a budget to work with, they can learn the skills of working with a budget and come up with some very resourceful ways of maybe taking care of something and that you didn't think you might be able to afford. How can you do it? Well, figuring out the problem solution sometimes can be a lot of fun. Sometimes it's just joining with other people to make the event happening or having a potluck. It's fun. And above all, when you're doing it, remember to be grateful for everything that you see. Whether or not you choose to buy it, we are so fortunate in this country to have the abundance that we have. And it takes a lot of people and a real good distribution system to enable us to walk into a store, buy something, have it available, and be able to know that it is going to be what we're paying for. It, believe me, in many parts of the world, that's not possible. This is Donna Siebel. I want to welcome you to call me, 888-627-6008. If you have a challenge you're dealing with, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. We're taking a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some tips on how you can make your phone, well, how it can make money for you. That's right. Technology is amazing. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about sound. I have two ladies that are going to be with me. Sherry Edwards, who is a very gifted woman regarding sound and the use of voice for healing, and also Jill Mattson. Now, Jill was on the show with me last month, and she had this exquisite grouping of sounds that we utilized on the air, and she is so knowledgeable. This is her background. This is her passion, and music and healing, sounds and healing, are centuries old. This has been an awareness, a knowledge that has been passed down through many cultures in many different ways. If you think of the didgeridoo, that instrumentation that's used by the Aborigines, it's a profound healing instrument. It is just amazing. So these two ladies are going to be with us tomorrow. And then, yes, we're going to be talking with Jim Harold, Campfire Ghost Stories 2. I love ghost stories. Do you? Do you have fun with them? Oh, I just think they're absolutely awesome. Jim Harold has some doozies, so we're going to be sharing some of those. And then a job search checklist. We're going to be talking with Damian Burkell. This is important because so many of you are saying, I don't have a chance to get in. I'm sending out hundreds of resumes, And that's not a joke. I know people that have sent out 500, and they don't get a response back. They just are so frustrated. I've known of people that have been out of work for 3 years. They live in a different state other than the state of Washington, and they can't collect unemployment. They ran out on their unemployment. What is a person to do? Well, I think that Damien has some wonderful suggestions, and I think we're going to be able to help you look at some of those options. So that's what's coming up this week. I know we've got a whole bunch more, and you'll find out. If you want to go to show information, you can check it out here on the website and find out who is coming up. And tell your friends, because they might be interested in the show as well. All right, I wanted to share some fun customs with you, because it's interesting to see what people do and how things evolve. When you travel, you find out a map, many different traditions that evolve with people. But there was once a tradition in merry old England, whenever someone died within a family, that members of the family would seek out the nearest beehive. Why? Why go to a beehive? They'd talk to the bees. That's right. They would talk to the bees about the death of their family member. And doing so, there was a reason behind this. Doing so was thought to prevent the bees from abandoning their hive. Now, do you see any logic in that? Maybe not. And it was done by a lot of generations for a very long time. For those of you that love chocolate, if you're like me, it's just absolutely an elixir. You just think it's the most wonderful thing that could possibly be consumed. Central America, the cocoa bean. Yes, it has been very successful there. Aztecs and Mayans both utilized cocoa in a very special way. It was highly respected and enjoyed by many different cultures. However, Catholic Church put out an edict. They didn't understand a lot of things. And this goes back to the 18th century. In villages in Central America, chocolate, according to the priests of the Catholic Church, was believed to be the drink of the devil. And no one under the age of 60 was allowed to imbibe it, because if they did, they were going to be excommunicated from the church. Now, I'd like to know, who came up with the concept of making it for anyone under 60? Over 60, you could drink as much of the stuff as you wanted? Figure that one out. But obviously, that died out because everyone, everywhere, loves. Well, not everyone. I shouldn't say that. That's too general a statement. Chocolate has a reigning positioning that I don't think is ever going to disappear. It's good stuff. Just wanted to share a couple points of trivia with you on that, because I think it's wonderful to see what whimsical things, we look at it as whimsical. People took it very seriously during those times. All right, how can you take your phone and make it into a moneymaker? Well, all it takes is to download a few free apps to your smartphone. You can take some photos, but let me give you some tips about what these different things do. This is a real education for me, because I'm just amazed at how, consistently amazed, at how technology is opening up phenomenal doors and in ways that we would never have envisioned sometimes even a year ago. Gig Walk. Gig Walk. Now, what does this app do? This app will ask you to take photos of anything from menus to shop lights for clients like eBay and Microsoft. Now, what you do, you check out the gigs on a map and pick what is convenient. What happens? eBay and Microsoft will pay about $10, but sometimes for photos it will go up to $20, and it takes 5 minutes. So go to gigwalk.com. That's how fast the money is transferred. Amazing. And then the Ride APP. This is a passive app. It says all you have to do is download it and start acquiring ride points. Now, how does it work? Wherever you go, it keeps track of the miles you're covering, whether it's by walking, transportation, automobile, bus, bike, whatever it is that you're going to use. You accumulate so many ride points, you can get gift cards to Starbucks, Amazon, and more. Who knew? So if you're a fan of any company, find out about this, therideapp.com. Now, there's also an app that will send you on secret shopping missions, and the skill of the secret shopper really is very important to many different businesses. Now, what you do, you have to fill out a screener about yourself, and then they tailor jobs for you that take 2 to 3 minutes. And since, you know, the jobs are places that you might normally shop, all you have to do is go do it. And one person made over $40 while their spouse was getting their nails done by taking photos of beef jerky racks at nearby 7-Elevens. That was their job assignment. Now, this is where you go. Fieldagent.net. Fieldagent.net. And then the last one, it's called Shopkick.com. Shopkick.com. This is a screener app for stores, and it recognizes when you walk into participating stores, like big stores, like Macy's, Nordstrom's, Target, any of those, American Eagle, you get what they call kicks just because you went inside the store. When you go into a store, you hold the phone in your hand, you don't keep it in your pocket, and it automatically registers. This is just mind-boggling. You can also earn kicks by doing small jobs, scanning a barcode at Walmart. And what you do, you get gift cards. This is how they pay you, gift cards. Amazing stuff. Who would have thought that you could generate extra cash by doing this? There are so many different ways of making money. And you might say, well, I don't have the technology. Well, maybe a friend has the technology. Maybe you could work a deal with a friend. I don't know. All I know is that we live in a fascinating world, a world that is evolving, shifts and changes on so many ways, in so many ways and on so many levels. And sometimes we just have to make it okay to be aware and alert. And sometimes people just don't have the money to get into the technology. But where there's a will, there's a way. And you might be able to find someone that would partner with you on some of these adventures into making extra money. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are on this fabulous planet of ours. And I invite you to join me tomorrow to get into the understanding of the use of sound, music, and how you can change your thinking, change your life by the use of it. You're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget that. This is Donna Seaball. I'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Seaball Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.